This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
America risks losing its luster as a destination for foreign students due to new government rules. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. Let's first take a look at the aviation sector, which is being pummeled particularly badly by the pandemic. The boss of the world's biggest long-haul carrier, Emirates, has told the BBC that he's worried about their finances despite being one of the industry's richest. It comes just a day after United Airlines announced it would make up to 36,000 job cuts. So Tim Clark is the president of Emirates.
We've been profitable since we started. And last year, prior to the pandemic, we were heading for one of our best years ever. But at the moment, we're in the process of we've already had to let go about 10% of our numbers. We'll probably have to let go a few more, probably up to 15%.
15% of Emirates' 60,000-strong workforce would mean job losses in the region of about 9,000 workers. Now, the row over whether foreign students will be allowed on U.S. college campuses has taken another dramatic twist this week. Harvard and MIT have vowed to bring legal action against the Trump administration. Caught in the middle of this, of course, are the young people around the world paying huge university fees and dreaming of a first-class education. The BBC's Frey Lindsay reports.
There are nearly 1 million international students in the United States, but many of them could find their visas cancelled if their university doesn't offer full in-class tuition in August.
I've really enjoyed my time here in the U.S. I've been able to do a lot of science and high-quality science. I generally wouldn't be able to do it if I was back at home.
David is from Peru, and he's working on his doctorate at an East Coast university. He asked us not to use his full name because he's worried about being deported. Although his university has adopted a hybrid model of teaching, with some in-class and some online, his future is still in doubt.
This has been an ongoing discussion with other international students here, like what is going to happen to us if we are forced to go home. In my case in particular, I wouldn't be able to finish. A doctorate is a requirement to become a college professor, so that career plan would be severely disrupted. And at this point, I don't really know what I would do.
There are many people in David's predicament. Hafiz Lakhani is president of the New York-based Lakhani Coaching, which helps international applicants get into U.S. universities. He said this all started last spring, when universities were suddenly forced to go online.
They had made a temporary exception given the public health emergency. For whatever reason, the policy has ended, the exceptions where international students could stay enrolled with virtual-only classes. What it does is it creates a difficult situation for international students, and maybe even more damaging is the financial impact on universities. International students contribute $41 billion each year to the U.S. economy. So suddenly now you're basically putting out an unwelcome mat for all of those international students.
On Wednesday, President Trump tweeted he may cut off funding to schools that don't reopen, placing immense pressure on them to do so. But it is still unclear whether they will open in a way that allows people like David to stay and complete their education. I'm the BBC's Frey Lindsay for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, the US reportedly plans to announce a tariff list on French goods as early as today. According to Bloomberg News, the list could contain $500 to $700 million worth of levies. It's part of a long-running spat over a proposed European digital tax on US giants like Amazon, Google, and Facebook. Washington announced that it was ending negotiations with Europe over the issue last month. In the words of the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, it believes other countries were ganging up to, quote, screw America. Let's do the numbers. Fears about a second coronavirus wave hurting the global economic recovery is weighing on investor sentiment. Hong Kong stocks had the heaviest losses in Asia today, falling 2.2% after the city announced it was shutting schools because of a spike in new infections. Over in Japan, the Nikkei 225 closed 1% lower at 22,290 points. Its capital, Tokyo, has confirmed a record 243 new cases, many stemming from its nightlife district. And the Shanghai Composite's 8-day winning streak ended today as authorities look to slow the pace of gains, partly caused by the buying of stocks by state-owned Chinese funds. Each year, around 2 million Muslims set off on a pilgrimage known as the Hajj. They flock to the Saudi Arabian cities of Mecca and Medina to worship at holy sites there. But this year, the Hajj has been upended by coronavirus, and only 1,000 pilgrims are being allowed to travel. This is causing billions of dollars in damage to Muslim-owned businesses around the world. The BBC's Faria Massoud has more.
The daily call to prayer rings out in Saudi Arabia across the almost empty Great Mosque of Makkah. In the middle of its courtyard, the iconic black cuboid structure, the Kaaba, is missing of devout pilgrims walking around it to show their devotion to God. A 10-minute walk from the mosque, Sajjad Malik has his head in his hands. His taxi and tours company has gone bust.
Last 3 months or 4 months, they are staying at home. There is no salary, no work, nothing. And they have no food for eating. The Hajj people are not coming. There is a lot of my staff. They are labor people. And they are suffering too much. More than 50 people, they are working with me. Could no business, nothing, zero. The people are crying.
It's expected that thousands of tour operators globally could go bust. Shahzad Taj is a tour operator from Pakistan, where most foreign pilgrims to Saudi Arabia come from.
Basically, business is zero right now. You know, there was nothing to sell, flights, other travel-related products. I had to obviously downsize to the very, very basic number of people. The time is like forcing us to start selling some of our assets, some property, some car, get rid of these things. Forced to even do some odd duties like driving Ubers, selling vegetables, you know, to just get by.
Meanwhile, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is facing a multi-billion dollar black hole in its budget this year due to its Hajj restrictions. The money those pilgrims bring won't be there this year. And there's also the plummeting price of oil, which the country depends on. I'm the BBC's Faria Massoud for Marketplace.
Before we go, Marketplace Morning Report is interested in how inequality can play out within families, be it in a household or among generations of the same family. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at morningreport@marketplace.org. That's it from myself and senior producer Will Bain. Thanks for listening. In London, I'm Leisha Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.